entertained? Are you not entertained?
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
You're listening to the French Press Podcast, where we discuss events from our lives.
Welcome to the French Press Podcast. This is episode 211.
And it's Tuesday, November 28th, 2017.
We've got feedback to get to.
I've got pizza.
Layton's got munchies. Jeff, again, is traveling the world. It seems every time I look over there, he's not there.
He is consistently not here.
If it's not Europe, traveling France and Spain and who knows where all.
If it's not heading east, then it's heading south.
Yeah. To the far deep south.
The way south. Where did he go?
He's in Belize visiting his sister, who is a school teacher down there.
Also a longtime listener of the French Press.
Yeah, and a spreader of the good news.
Spreader of the good news.
Like I said, we've got feedback to get to. We want to recap this weekend as well.
Oh yeah, a lot happened.
A lot did happen. I've even got a Leaf story that I was going to talk about last week and
totally slipped your mind.
It did. I had too much on my mind. And so let's start with some of the feedback. The first bit of feedback was from a while ago, and I just missed it. It was before last week. It was from Theodore, and it was regarding the whole debate about laser tag versus mini golfing and that whole thing.
Uh-huh.
So here's what he said. I understand where Layton is coming from. Last year, we rented out a bowling alley with go-karts and putt-putt. That was really fun, and all the aunts and uncles came, unlike laser tag, where the aunts stayed at home, or at least most of them. And I was the one who brought up Sky Zone on GroupMe because I figured that would be more fun for the younger people than bowling. But I don't care. If we go laser tagging. One reason we didn't go laser tagging, I think, was because there were too many people last year and some had to sit out around. But it doesn't matter either way. So he was defending himself because he was, if it wasn't pointed out that it was Theodore, he was attacked from our podcast.
Oh, we attacked him?
Yeah, because he was the one that brought up, now he's admitting it as well, but he admitted he was the one that brought up doing Sky Zone or putt-putting or something other than laser tag.
Hmm. That's weird. Because he seemed to be the main advocate for Sky Zone. Yes. He was the one that brought it up. I was the one who started the poll. But that was just to kill the idea. And make it look like it's not my fault, but the majority will speak. The majority spoke, but just by one vote.
It was only one vote. And later we found out that some votes were cast with zero regard for doing one or the other.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
An in-law voted for Sky Zone without ever planning to do laser tagging or Sky Zone.
It was like a
infiltration?
Well, I was going to say it was a non-participating vote. It was like a vote cast. It's like using your power without actually, I feel like there's a good word for it.
I don't know what the word is, but I know what you mean. Their vote counted. But it clearly should not have.
Their vote mattered, but they don't care if it counted or not.
Yeah.
The sickos. Anyways.
I feel like this is getting really deep.
The in-laws. Hey, what are you going to do? You know, you can't win a ball. You can't have all good in-laws.
We had some other feedback, too. Your father, Paul, suggested that we have Carmen and Carrie on the podcast, you know, on a more regular basis.
Oh, really?
So,
thanks, Dad.
And then we did get some other feedback here too. Let me see.
We got one from Facebook.
Yeah, that was the one that I was gonna
read next.
Actually, we got a few from Facebook.
Oh, okay.
The one was from Mitch, and he was very pleased that we got the podcast out in the timely manner that we did. He said, "Awesome podcast, and a big thank you for getting posted so fast. Now we don't have to riot." We don't condone rioting on the French Press Podcast, so we're happy that we helped stop one.
Right. We are squeltering riots, mm-hmm. nipping riots in the bud, one podcast at a time.
That's right. And then we got some more feedback here. Thanks for the great lesson on the impact of the German language on modern sirens. I did not see that one coming. FYI, Pennsylvania Dutch, in quotes, is not really Dutch, but a corrupted pronunciation of Dach, or German.
It's just not pronounced Deutsch.
Yeah, I guess I just corrupted it again. Interestingly, I have a coworker that immigrated from Ludwigshafen, Germany, as a child, not Amish or Mennonite, and her dialect is really close to Pennsylvania Dach.
Wow.
Or Deutsch. And we got some other feedback here, too. And I'll just read this one. Hey, guys. With all due respect, I was quite disappointed with the Pennsylvania Dutch segment on your recent podcast. Not only did it lack real humor, it was actually quite lame. Also, some of the information shared was incorrect. But let me give you some encouragement. I think Pennsylvania Dutch segment is a wonderful idea if you first educate yourself about the history of the dialect. Be prepared to speak intelligently. Pennsylvania Dutch ought to be called Pennsylvania German because it is, yes, truly a German dialect. It is not Dutch from the Netherlands. This dialect originated in the Black Forest regions of Germany. The confusion with Dutch came when the Swiss-German immigrants spoke of the Dutchland, or the Dutchland, I'm not sure. Those who were not familiar with the German language understood it as Dutch land, not knowing they spoke of Germany. I personally have had conversations with three German citizens who were familiar with the Black Forest region dialect. I was able to converse quite well with them in my Pennsylvania Dutch or German dialect.
Are you trying to sound out his last send off?
Dünnt on haltet lange.
Ah,
keep on learning.
Okay. You know, this is, I mean, I think we've gotten like criticisms before in the past, but I don't think this specifically. And this is like, this is good feedback. I count this as good feedback. Ruben, what do you count this as?
I think all criticisms, you can learn from it.
Right.
So that's the best way to always take any kind of either criticism or encouragement, and often they're one and the same.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do think that this person does want the French Press podcast to be as good as it can be.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
To excel.
For sure. And I think the listener's main problem with the way that we approached the topic of Pennsylvania Dutch was that it wasn't educational. Instead, I went for full-blown, I don't care, inaccurate or accurate, whatever it is, I just need to get to the punchline. And so my target that I was aiming for was just humor. In his opinion, I missed that target, apparently, by a lot. And
it's kind of like when you're serving in volleyball and it's the first time someone's serving volleyball and they just bomb it and then you let them serve again.
No, not quite.
Well.
But you can keep on going with that analogy.
Go ahead.
The problem with your analogy is that
you don't
humor.
Get a do-over.
Well, you get a do-over, absolutely. But the lines, it's almost two different games. at least in what we're talking about here. His problem is not, or at least the way I perceive it, is his problem is not that it missed the humor mark. It's the fact that it missed that. It was the fact that I was shooting at the wrong target. And I can understand that. His opinion that it missed the mark as far as humor goes, I think that's subjective. I think it is subjective. I think some people would have found it funny. I think other people, like he said, would have found it lame. but as far as approaching it with the mark of education in mind, I think in his mind it would be we could get a lot more content out of...
The quality would be better.
The Pennsylvania Dutch topic.
Yeah.
And with that, I agree. I do agree. I think that people would find it more interesting. Do you not agree?
More interesting. I think it really depends who the listener is. If mm-hmm. if it is someone that is fairly fluent in Pennsylvania Dutch, mm-hmm. I think they would find it interesting to know where this word came from or how it maybe is affecting English today.
I think that people that even the listeners that don't know Pennsylvania Dutch would find it interesting. In fact, them almost more so. Because they have no idea. They're completely clueless. As opposed to being just a little bit clueless.
But one thing I do believe is that you can't have two targets.
You're right.
And at least not, you can't do well at both of them. You could do the target where it's just educational, and you can try to weave in some humor, but the humor is going to be very weak.
Uh-huh.
And the same thing's true when you're aiming at the humor target.
Okay.
You can try to be educational, but it's going to be pretty weak.
Right.
So you need to choose one or the other. He wants to go with, clearly, with the educational target, like you'd mentioned.
Right.
And so I think maybe a good alternative would be maybe to mix it up. Maybe every other time, or sometimes it could be clearly towards education and sometimes clearly for humor. But I don't think you can have the same moment be both. You can't stack the targets behind each other and expect to hit them both. Or prove me wrong.
I think you do have to have a primary objective. As far as, is the primary objective humor? Is the primary objective educational? And really, behind this feedback is a much deeper question. And that is,
get to the point.
Well, no. What is the goal of this podcast?
Mm-hmm.
Is it to educate? Is it to humor? Like, because I feel like this podcast has like evolved into something different than what we originally intended.
Oh, much different. I mean, it started up talking about the TV show Arrow.
Yeah.
Which started out as a pretty good TV show and yeah. turned into something pretty awful.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
In that regard, it missed the mark. The Arrow missed the mark. So my question to you is, Ruben, and this is like us, like we don't, I have something in mind.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Ruben has anything in mind, but he's about to because I'm putting him on the spot. But
right.
We haven't discussed this off of the air. But Ruben, what do you think, what do you feel is the primary goal of the podcast? What is the purpose of the podcast?
Yeah. When you fill out social media links and profiles and set them up, it always asks you a little bit about what is your page or your thing about.
Mm-hmm.
And we had talked about this years ago. What is the French Press podcast? Like, what is its point? What is its purpose?
Uh-huh.
To me, it is an entertaining conversation
uh-huh.
between people that sometimes, hopefully is always entertaining, but is sometimes humorous and sometimes inspiring or encouraging.
Uh-huh.
To me, that's what I want to get out of the podcast. Or that's what I hope people are getting out of the podcast.
Right. Right. I agree with you. I think the word that you're looking for to like put all what you said into like one word, I think would be uplifting.
Yeah.
And I agree that's what I would like this podcast to be. I think, you know, that varies from episode to episode. You know, so with that in mind, that, you know, the goal of the podcast is to be uplifting. With that in mind, when we approach the topic of Pennsylvania Dutch, if this person, like one listener thinks that, I think it would be safe to say he thinks that it would be more uplifting if we would approach it with a more educational and intelligent spin on it instead of a humorous spin, I'm willing to give it a whirl. I'm willing to try it. I think he's probably right. And
are you ready to try it today?
No, not today.
Okay.
Because if we're going to go with it intelligently, with an intelligent spin, like you said, you have to do your research.
Yeah. Well, you could have done it. I didn't know.
I could have, but I would have once again just probably gone into the humorous target default.
Maybe we should rely on our gifts more. You're funny. You think well off the top of your head.
Yeah.
Maybe it should be my responsibility.
So pretty much Ruben is saying, I don't think you can handle this one, Ruben.
This was a compliment to you.
And, oh, okay.
Because you're funny and you're mm-hmm. you're natural at it. And you're intelligent too. You can't.
You're right. If I want to be. But I don't ever want to use humor as a crutch to slough something.
Yeah.
Or to just be like, well, I was just joking anyway, so it doesn't matter. I don't want to have that attitude. I want to have the attitude of like, yes, when humor fits, great. If it doesn't, I don't want to shoehorn, I don't want to force humor into whatever topic we're talking about. I think that's the primary reason, or one of the primary reasons, that Mr. Dave's segment is so popular. People love when we have Mr. Dave on. Mm-hmm. And I think that, yeah, lots of times his story contain a little bit of humor, and they're often strange. But I think the main reason that people find it or love it so much is because it's true. I mean, it's from history. I mean, it's pretty easy to... I mean, I don't know about easy, but anyone can make up a fictional story about some guy in the past. But because it's made up, it just doesn't have as much weight. It's not as like, whoa, that actually happened. Like, the Japanese actually used weather balloons in order to bomb the U.S. and it actually worked a little bit. Or there was a gentleman who from England who was a pirate, mm-hmm. and he actually paid his workers, and he was totally backwards. I mean, if that were totally made up, it wouldn't.
It wouldn't be as entertaining.
It wouldn't be as entertaining
even if it were solely for entertainment. Not true.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think that's also why people enjoy hearing about my life. People enjoy hearing about your life is because, for the most part, it is true. Sometimes we exaggerate some of the little details.
It's based,
at least I do.
It's based in truth.
Right.
I actually spoke with Mr. Dave today, and I just asked him for a little update, how he's coming along.
Was it primarily just to like, we need to have you back?
No,
listeners are suffering.
I was at school. It was yesterday. It wasn't today. I was at school looking at a computer, and I just popped in his office, and just because he had wanted a few months break because he has
a lot on his plate.
A lot, yeah. Many many more responsibilities. At mm-hmm. school this year, and so, it's not going to happen anytime soon. We'll talk to him again after the new year, after Christmas, and see where he's at. But
if he doesn't get on soon, would it be bad to have Jeff do his segment?
Well, here's the encouraging part: he does have a couple. He has a folder, and it's filled with content.
It's like the lost files of Mr. Dave's stories from history. They've been recovered, Ruben. Ancient manuscripts from the catacombs of Paris. They've been dug up.
So, no, we can't replace Mr. Dave.
Okay.
Jeff has done a great job with his fictional stories, reading them, the old fairy tales, and some of his other segments, the music.
And the single thoughts.
Well, he's kind of failed in that department, in my opinion.
You hand him a baton and he just takes it and
buries
it. A baton?
I handed him... something much more valuable than a baton.
You handed him a bar of gold. And what did he do?
He buried it.
He buried it. He, like, scuffed it. He didn't even, like, bother, like, making sure that it was safe inside of a box or anything that the gold wouldn't get tarnished. He just took it and, like, dug a hole and just threw it into the ground.
Yeah.
And he only halfway buried it. Oh. Because it's like, every once in a while, like, listens a little bit. Like, right now, when we start talking about the single thought,
mm-hmm.
it just glistened.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still just in the dirt.
This week, we went out for supper with Ben and Liz, very good friends of you. They were at Hillcrest with you and
yep.
Carmen and Carrie. And I know them because they're from the area and just more through friends. Anyway, Ben He's got a couple of great stories, and we will need to have him on the podcast.
Yeah, we totally do.
He is he's a gold digger, in the more literal sense of the word.
He's a gold seeker. He's an aspiring gold digger. It's kind of like a writer who, you know, writes stories-ish, but hasn't gotten any of them published yet, and they're like still up and coming. But they're so close. They could feel it that they have like a masterpiece that's about to come out. But they just haven't quite gotten it yet. That's how Ben is with his metal detector, his metal detecting skills. He's going to find gold. He's going to get there. But so far, it's just been a few little coins and a lot of railroad spikes and pieces of wire. I think he got a gun stock.
Hold on now. I thought the new metal detector wouldn't pick up things like nails. It would just detect precious metal.
Right. No, yeah, yes. And he just did get this, but he's been metal detecting for a long time. He metal detected at Hillcrest. Did you know that?
Yeah, I did know that.
Okay.
Seeing your face and hearing you just cracks me up.
Oh, but yeah.
It sounds like fun. I always loved Indiana Jones and looking for a treasure and digging through dirt.
It's nothing like that. It's nothing like Indiana Jones.
I know it's not like Indiana Jones, but...
The only thing, when it comes to metal detecting, the only thing that's rolling towards you and you're afraid it's going to like totally kill you is just sheer exhaustion and discouragement from not finding anything. Like that's the boulder you're running away again. Running away from when you're metal detecting. It's not like you get to stumble into some ancient Mayan tomb or anything like that with like little booby traps and it's just dirty and exhausting. And most of the time,
I know there is some technique involved, fruitless. Though. And when sometime, this is a promise, if the world continues to spin on its axis, we will have Ben on the podcast.
Oh, I totally want him on.
And he will tell us some gold digging stories.
Experiences.
And maybe give some tips to listeners out there who might be interested in it as well.
To listeners who also listen for gold.
The literal kind.
The literal kind, not the metaphorical kind that you get from this podcast every week.
Something interesting he also said. He runs a hotel /bakery
/ restaurant.
Yeah, and I don't know when this came up in the conversation, but he said, oh yeah, you can hear when someone is smiling on the phone.
Yeah.
So I thought we should give it a test to our listeners.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Where... We'll say something,
mm-hmm.
and we'll either be smiling, and we'll both do it.
Okay.
And then we'll give the listeners an opportunity to see if they can hear if we're smiling or not. So I can go first. Next week on the podcast, we're going to have Jeff back, hopefully, because he's an important part of the podcast, and he always brings an interesting story, and I'm sure he'll have an interesting story from his time in Belize.
Okay. Is it my turn?
It's your turn now.
Okay, let me go into a certain mouth shape. Okay. Tomorrow, I think that there's... Oh, I need to think of something just like kind of like whatever to say.
What job are you doing tomorrow at
work? Tomorrow at work, I'm cutting beams for, maybe Thor or maybe Jayco or Grand Design. We just have so many jobs. It's just insane. But I'm really, really happy for the job. And the fact that we do have work.
All right, so here's my... Tomorrow, I'm not sure exactly what all I will be doing. I know I've got some website work to do. And because it's getting towards the end of the month, I'll need to go and start getting some billing ready. Because that's something I don't like doing. But it needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to get it done. And so that's probably something I'll be working on tomorrow.
Ruben, it sounds like to me that billing isn't very fun. and it sounds like the most boring thing because all you're doing is asking people for money.
No, I'm telling them they owe me money. I'm not asking for it.
Right. Sorry. I had that all wrong. All
right. My first one was the smiling. The second one was the not smiling. And for you,
First one was not actually frowning.
Yeah.
Like physically, you'll vouch for me, right?
Yeah.
I was frowning.
Your face was upside down.
I was like almost in tears the first time. And then the second time I was smiling.
But when Ben said that, it just made me realize I don't
smile when you're on the phone.
I don't smile when I'm on the phone very often.
Good.
In fact, I'm often very much to the point. And what
you're calling with a purpose. And then the sooner that you can get done like talking to this person or off the phone, the happier you are, right?
Then I started smiling.
Yeah, like, oh, that was such a short conversation. I am so glad that's over with.
Does it bug you when people call you and say, hey, you know they're calling you with purpose in mind, with something they either want to ask you or tell you, but they start off by saying, hey, what's up, Ruben? Hey, what's up, Layton?
What's up, Ruben?
Nothing. What's up with you?
Oh,
I never say that.
Oh, okay. Nothing. What's up with you? Do you never respond with that?
I just say, what do you need?
You just want to cut to the chase.
Yeah. But I need to work on my
small talk. I really, really doubt you do that to your girlfriend.
No.
When she calls you up and she's like, what's up, Ruben? You don't say nothing, what do you need? I doubt that's how you respond to your girlfriend. You probably go into your falsetto and you're like, oh, hey, Carmen, what's up? I was just thinking about you.
I don't go into falsetto, but you're right. I'm not quite as...
So I think that Ben has a point.
He does have a point.
Like, I mean, it's on a much smaller scale than how you are when you're talking to your girlfriend. You know, you don't have to be that joyful or, yeah, jubilant. But when you smile and over the phone and they hear that, like, oh, you know what? Like, I'm actively listening to you. And I do, you're telling them that, or you're showing them that you do care about what they have to say. You make them feel important. And you don't have to make them feel as important as your girlfriend or how you feel about your girlfriend, but it's still good to make them feel important, at least somewhat. So don't go into full falsetto, just more maybe like tenor. Or a high tenor? I don't know.
I don't even think it's the tone or the pitch.
The pitch of
the voice.
Okay.
You can just tell if someone is smiling. You can just tell. It's not, because right now I'm not trying to hire, but my face is pleasant. It's not frowning.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm halfway smiling.
Yeah, you are smiling. Yes, definitely.
And you can hear that even though my voice isn't really high.
Okay. I agree. That it doesn't. But when I get excited, I think normally I do. Actually, when I get excited or I'm like happy, I think I actually tend to talk faster. And so it's not that my pitch goes up. It's that my rate of my words per minute goes up.
Yeah. Anyway, I promised a Leaf story.
Yeah, you did. And it's time to follow up on that promise.
It was about 2 weeks ago, and it was after you had told me the things you had done to your neighbor, or by not cleaning up your yard.
I was turned into a hemorrhoid.
You had caused him grief, mm-hmm. You assume anyway. By the way, did you ever get that resolved? Did you ever...
Yeah, I did. He was blowing his leaves the one day, and he decided to also blow my yard. That's how we got it resolved. And like my wife feels so bad, and I do too partially. And she said, "Oh, we need to like she wants to like bake him something." Or he did this like really really nice act. And you know the way I found it out?
You saw there weren't leaves in your yard anymore.
Well, but I found out even before I got home from work.
Oh.
Because a guy who was supposed to do my internet or get me that new router or something, said, hey, your neighbor's doing your yard. I think I mentioned that when I was talking about my internet woes.
You did?
I think so. Yeah, if you go back into the archives.
I must not have been listening.
Probably not. Anyways.
Well, good. Anyway.
I still haven't talked to him yet. I should.
Okay.
Need to acknowledge I was driving.
I was driving from here, from where we're recording this audio the podcast, and in Layton's parents' basement. And I was on the road, and I was as I was driving down the road, I'm always on the lookout for cars,
pedestrians,
and also buggies because we're in Amish country, and bicycles,
and also piles of manure.
And piles of manure, yes. But the one thing I'm not on the lookout for is a pile of leaves and a man with a leaf blower on the road. And but as I was driving down the road, all of a sudden I realized that right ahead of me, and I wasn't going fast, probably 45 miles an hour, close to the speed limit here on the road, I realized that there are leaves, a pile of leaves all the way across the road. And on the left side, there is a man standing there with a leaf blower.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hard to tell why he was blowing leaves. It looked like he was cleaning up the road of leaves.
He was cleaning up the road of leaves.
That's what it looked like, because it was a row across the road.
Okay.
I'm sure he wasn't. I'm sure it just
so happened. It wasn't going the length of the road. It was going the width of the road.
No, it was going... the row was perpendicular to the road.
Okay. The road was perpendicular to the
road. The row.
The row.
The row of leaves.
The row of leaves was perpendicular to the road.
And I noticed it. I didn't have time to stop or even break. But I wasn't close to hitting him. He was on the left side.
Good.
But I did fly through his row of leaves. And as I looked back in my rearview mirror, I just saw him turn and look at my vehicle. And just, it looked like his mouth dropped open a little bit and his shoulders sagged just a little bit. I felt bad, but I didn't turn around and apologize because it wouldn't have done anything.
You're right. The leaves still would have been everywhere.
And I don't know. I still don't know why he was blowing them the way he was blowing them.
You mean?
Probably what he was actually doing. It looked like he was blowing them
onto the opposite side of the road.
He was probably trying to blow them across the road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Into the ditch.
But anyway, when that happened, I immediately thought of you.
Thank you. You're so kind. Thank you for thinking of me.
So that's all I've got. That's my leaf story.
Okay. Well, how much time are we at?
We're at about 32. We're at 3 minutes. 32.
Normally it would be time for Jeff to start coughing and fitzing and
adjusting his mic
and yeah, tapping and. Doing all sorts of strange noises whilst reading a fairy tale story. But he's not here. So in his honor, should we just end the podcast now?
We probably should. That way people have something to look forward to
even more. Did he leave his book?
No.
No, he took it with him. See, he knew that we would try. He knew that we would try to take his place on the podcast by reading one of the stories. He's smart like that.
Anyway, if you guys ever want to leave feedback or have a suggestion, you can email us mail@frenchpresspodcast.com, or you can fill out the form over on the website as well, or send us a message on Facebook. And Layton, before we wrap this up, what is the point?
The point, I only have 3 points. And that's not because this episode wasn't full of content, but it's just because I just started writing down the list of points. Point number one, criticisms are good for the podcast. Point number two, this podcast is uplifting. Point number three, Layton is still a hemorrhoid. Point number four, Jeff is consistently gone. I think that's all the points.
All right. And what, do you have a word to leave with our listeners for this week?
Uplifting.
All right. We just realized we didn't talk about Thanksgiving week at all.
At all.
Let's just start at the beginning. My girlfriend came for the whole week and it was incredible.
The end.
We went laser tagging and that was a lot of fun. We played a new game.
What new game did we play?
Normally it's just three teams against each other and you tag the other team, and whoever tags the other team the most wins. That's a short way of explaining it.
Right.
This other game we played was called Tug of War, and when you tag another player, they turn into the same. They turn into your teammate. They change colors, so they're on your team. There's green, blue, and red.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I'm on blue, Layton's on red, and I tag Layton, he turns into the blue team. And so it's like a swarm, like a virus that takes over the entire field.
I feel like rather than calling it Tug of War, they should call it Infection.
Ooh, that would be better.
That would be a better name.
Yeah. But that was fun. I wouldn't want to play it every time, but it was fun.
Okay. I agree, except the one time that we did play Tug of War was I was on the blue team, and it's amazing how blue consistently loses. Like, blue always is in last. It's never like, oh, maybe blue or yellow are going to be last. No, it's blue is always last, yellow is always second, and red is always first, except in Tug of War. In Tug of War, yellow managed to win by eliminating both the blue team and the red team. That's impressive.
It was. It was
usually red dominates, no matter what.
Yeah,
but
it was. It was fun.
It was. What?
I was just looking at you.
Okay.
What more did you want to discuss from the weekend?
From the weekend?
From the week.
Oh, we had karaoke night.
That was something new.
That was.
We always do.
Line dancing.
Yeah, we always.
Normally we do line dancing, but before we did we do line dancing that night?
I forget, what is line dancing again? I get confused.
Yeah, we did.
The different terms.
We did line dancing after karaoke. It was in this order, at least that was on Saturday. Yeah, Saturday. Saturday was eat, and then hang out, and then...
For me, it was watch some football after eating and hanging out. It was watch some football and take a nap.
You watched football and took a nap in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And then it was eating.
And then it was eating again.
And then it was football for you.
Yep.
And then it was actually karaoke for me.
And I was forced into it against my will.
You were forced into karaoke?
Yeah.
You know what I was forced into against my will, Ruben? I
stood there and hummed.
Do you know what the entire Hostetler family was forced to against their will?
I think I know where you're going with this.
And you don't want me to go there?
Oh, you can go there.
Oh, okay. About around, I want to say, 8:15.
No, it was before that. It was around 8:05.
Oh, my word. We had an extra half hour that I wasn't even aware of, that we were without internet.
That's a 10-minute difference. You said 8:15. I said 8:05.
It felt like a half hour. 10 minutes without internet feels like a half hour with internet.
We were watching the football game over the internet, and to provide a bufferless viewing experience for me and some of my friends, I went and disabled the wireless, which was out where all the Hostetlers were hanging out.
Right.
And I didn't see it firsthand, but I heard there was an uproar.
There was. There was a riot that was beginning to form, a little coalition of mostly grandchildren who...
I did warn people. Didn't you think that was at least... Or would it have been better if I wouldn't have warned people?
It would have been better to not.
I sent out a message over our GroupMe and said, hey, the internet's going to be off.
The only thing that did was... I mean, okay, it was kind of like a good and bad. The good thing is that it saved a lot of people calling you and asking, what's going on with the internet? That it saved you from that. What it didn't save you from is, or what it did also was that as soon as you sent out that text, the coalition began to form because they were all informed at the same time. And it gave the grandchildren some kind of cohesion or like the ability to actually reason that something could be done about this.
And usually they're...
It put them all in the same frame of mind, exactly. Frame of mind, all at the same time.
Usually there's factions within, you know, there's the oldest ones and then the middle ones and the younger ones.
Right.
But when they were all called together for one common cause...
I'm in the middle one, right?
You'd be in the older one.
You're way older than me.
I know, but after you're over 20, you're one of the older ones.
Yeah, you're right. So where does that put Theodore?
in the middle.
He's not over 20?
Well, he is, but...
Okay. I was going to say, but he was one of the... He was in the coalition. In fact, he kind of led the charge. Of course, he's your brother.
Yeah.
So, as a revolt...
He probably felt a little more responsible. Being my brother, he probably felt responsible for the pain I put the rest of the hostellers through.
Well, he probably hosts them more than what you do. He feels like he's hosting.
Oh, you mean... Over the week.
Right. Or he feels like he has to provide hospitality.
Yeah.
And when you take away internet, you take away a lot of your hospitality.
That is true.
At least in this day and age.
But you know what went through my mind? I was thinking, people are out there line dancing.
Mm-hmm. Actually, we were trying to do karaoke.
Or karaoke, whatever.
And when
it is.
You killed the internet.
You can hotspot. There's actually...
We did, and it buffered. Do you know how hard it is to hold out a note that long? We were right in the middle of doing a Southern gospel song, and it was like, looking for a city. Where we'll never die. Like, it took forever for that to finish loading on Theodore's LTE speeds.
It shouldn't have, so maybe you can maybe halfway blame Verizon as well.
Verizon, you're not as fast as Ruben's Wireless, but at least they're more consistent. So, but anyways, we need to still get to the revolt.
Oh, okay, there's more to it.
Yeah, the revolt was, and I don't know if this had any effect on your viewing experience, but all the boys, the
middle and younger,
went inside and took their phones and all started streaming Netflix on your Wi-Fi.
Because wireless was on inside the house.
And they didn't just... like stream something that they wanted to watch, they all streamed the exact same episode of
whatever they were watching.
Of what they were watching.
As far as I know, it didn't have an effect on the internet.
Okay.
But the reason I took such drastic measures is because when I first started watching the game, it was very grainy.
Oh.
And I wanted to guard against grainy and buffering for this football game, because unlike...
Could you have hotspotted?
Possibly. I mean, yeah. I mean, in hindsight,
that's probably what could have been done.
In hindsight, you know, that would have been an option.
You could have saved me.
You
a long note of looking for a city.
Was anyone trying to break up this revolt?
No. In fact, a lot of the parents were encouraging it. He's like, yeah, go in there. Stream the same episode on Netflix. Show him. Make that game grainy for him.
Because I was going in and out. I was watching football, and then I'd go back out so I could be with the singing and dancing. What?
Anyways, but once you turned the wireless back on, I mean, it was fine. It was all good. And that game only lasted, what, 3 or 4 hours?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, it was fine.
Yeah. I guarantee you, next year, I mean, no one will even remember it.
I'll be sure to bring it up. And I'm pretty sure Theodore will, too. And I could see Vance and Nicholas... And Rashan remembering.
I feel like Vance's mind, and Theodore and Nicholas, they're geared
against you
to remember bad things,
like hold grudges.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Anyway,
I think you're right, but when they're not against me, I don't mind. Was there anything else? The ice cream machine was on point this year. Because it wasn't, was it strawberry and vanilla? But it didn't taste like strawberry. It almost tasted like a blueberry or another kind of berry, not a strawberry. It didn't have like a sour zip to it.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, it was purple and not pink as well. That's what made me think that it might be a different... That the ice cream machine is such a good idea. Yes. Was there anything else that we did? We did quite a bit of board gaming. I played two games of Settlers throughout the weekend.
Yeah, I played one... Well, over the entire week, I played two games.
I also played Masterpiece.
I did not play Masterpiece.
I didn't do that well. I figured out that... I figured out, though, you know, I wish that the game of Masterpiece would be the exact same as real life. Or it would be the same in real life. Like, as soon as I decide that, hey, I want to get into art collecting, that I somehow get $1.5 million.
A small loan of $1.5 million.
Well, but I don't even have to pay it back.
Oh, not even a loan. Okay.
Yeah. And there's, like, ridiculous stuff. They're like on the board, like, some of the squares that you can land on is collect $500,000. And they don't even give an explanation why.
Yeah.
It's just like, you get $500,000. That's what you get.
But isn't farming the same way, the farming game or construction? Don't you start out with several hundred thousand dollars?
But you have debt to show for it.
Oh, is it debt?
You do get debt. You get debt and bills.
Okay.
At least the way I play.
I didn't know that. It's been a while since I've played.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, you get debt to show for it. Also, another weird square that I noticed in the game of Masterpiece. It says inherit a painting from the bank. Why? Who died at the bank that you inherited something? Like, what does that even mean? Like, oh, a vault died. There was a deposit box that died, and now you get to inherit what was in it. I mean, I could understand, like, your uncle died, or something like that. But inherit a painting from the bank, that just doesn't make sense to me.
It doesn't.
And it just bothers me so.
Maybe you could go and rewrite some of those squares that don't make sense. So you can't do anything about...
I could Sharpie them.
Starting out with $1 million or $1.5 million, whatever it is. But maybe the squares where it says, oh, you inherited a painting. Maybe you just Sharpie it out and paint or write on it, you inherited it from your uncle.
Inherit a painting from your uncle who owned the bank.
No, forget the bank. Forget the bank. You just got it from your uncle.
Okay, I got it. Inherit a painting from your uncle. But then, you like, whenever you land on that square, it's just like, how many uncles do I have?
Well, how many times will you land on it?
You'd be surprised. Maybe twice.
Well, you have two uncles.
Yeah.
Most people have two uncles, so.
Ah, the joys of games. Oh, also, we should talk about the crazed iPhone app. That was circulating.
It took over the Hostetlers.
Flooded the Hostetlers. It's insane. It really is. There is a game called, I guess this would be kind of a tech tip.
Yeah.
A tech tip from the Hostetler family. There's a game, and if you search for it on the App Store, let me look for it.
It's called Balls, but it's spelled B-A-L-L-Z.
Right.
And it's a free app, but there are ads in it. Now, Layton, I think the tech tip that you should share is how you cheat in this game. And this is not something I condone or participate in.
Okay.
However, a lot of people do.
A lot of people cheat in the game of Balls.
In this game.
So, in this game, you have a ball at the bottom of your screen. Oh my word, I have to call my wife and tell her not to buy white chicken chili for me for supper tonight because I've already had pizza for my parents. Can I do that real quick, Ruben?
It's probably too late. We're almost done with the podcast.
Let me just...
Is she at the coffee shop?
Yeah, and she's about to leave.
All right, go for it. Anyway, while he's talking to his wife, you at the bottom of your screen, you shoot or direct. You start off with one ball, and then you just knock out the squares that are on top of there. And the cheat, I'll just tell you right now. If you go and before the balls are done bouncing, if you go and close the app, you'll be able to redo that turn. And every time that you shoot a ball at the boxes, they move down one layer. And it is difficult to do, but
why don't you drive up?
It's a lot of fun, and it's also very easy.
Yeah.
And hopefully Layton's about done with his phone call.
Thanks, babe. I have to finish recording. Okay, we're back. I'm back. Ruben's still here.
I just explained basically what it is. You aim balls at boxes, and the boxes drop down every time you shoot the balls at the boxes.
Right.
So, in a way, it's kind of like that game where you had a skateboard at the bottom, and you would bounce the ball up.
That's called Pong, I think.
Really? Well,
I think so.
It's somewhat... There's some similarities there. I also told him how to cheat.
Oh, I wanted to be the one to tell him how to cheat. Okay.
And what is great, you can pause this game at any time and then pick it up later because it's not like it's timed or anything. So it's a great thing to just pick up, play for a little bit.
You can passively play it and actually kind of carry a conversation. It's nice.
You could probably record a podcast while you're playing.
You could.
Anyway.
As I am.
This is now, we're now officially done recording, unless you have something more you wanted to share.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Okay.
Are we going to go through the list of points?
Again? I guess we can.
Are we going to save the points that I already said?
Yeah, say them again.
Okay. Sorry, I'm finishing up this game of balls. Okay, now. Criticisms are good for the podcast. It's point number one. Number two, this podcast is uplifting. Number three, Jeff is consistently gone. Number four, the host of Thanksgiving was once again awesome, in spite of Ruben trying to steal internet. Number five, the game of balls is addicting.
And what is our word of the week?
Word of the week is still uplifting.